Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is either accepted or he's rejected. And yet the Bible said that's exactly what would happen. Every day around the world for millennia, people have been telling others about Jesus Christ. And for some of us, we've been radically set free from our previous lifestyles and from our sins.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Problem with Jesus. It's a collection of studies that takes a look at the person and the work of Jesus of Nazareth, all in commemoration of Passion Week, of course. Now, in the first two paragraphs of Luke chapter 24, and of course in other passages, we're told of how the tomb of Jesus was found to be empty and that he had actually risen from the dead. And therein lies yet another so-called problem with Jesus. It's been some 2,000 years now, and his remains have yet to be found. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Problem with Jesus, He is Alive.
What's the problem with Jesus? Well, let me tell you this right now. As a Christian, I can tell you in all candidness that the problem that I have with Jesus is that he wants the very best for my life, and he wants to have his image shaped into my life. That's God's plan until I go home to see him. But though I agree with that in my spirit, something gets in the way a lot of the times. It's called my flesh. For example, first service today started at 6 a.m. I got up at 12:30 this morning and went to bed at 9. It wasn't anything spiritual. I wish I could tell you that I got up at 12:30 and climbed a mountain and I was so excited about today. I woke up at 12:30. I was wide awake after that. Listen, the problem that I have as a Christian with Jesus is my flesh. My flesh wanted to go back into the bed at 6 a.m. this morning, but we had a church service, so I had to come. Our flesh gets in the way. But as a non-believer, Jesus, he's a problem. If you're not a worshiper of Jesus Christ, you know why he's a problem? Well, for one thing, his name. His name, the Bible says, is above all names. That at the name of Jesus Christ, in the end, at judgment, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Also this, the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, demons flee. The Bible tells us that when Christ returns in the atmosphere, that the sun and the moon will be turned down dim by the brightness of his face when he returns. He's coming again, by the way. I can't wait. I hope it's today. But the problem the world has with Jesus is the closing title of today's message in our series is the fact that he's alive. That's the problem. Jesus is alive. And so that name that is above all names, isn't it interesting that no matter where you are in the world, if you want to cuss because you hit your finger with the hammer, nobody hits their finger with a hammer and screams out Buddha. No one's done it. No one does it. No one slams their finger in the door and says, oh, Muhammad. Nobody does that. People all around the world, I've heard people cussing in other parts of the country. I don't even know their language, but blah, 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 Jesus. And what did he just say? I just heard the name Jesus. Oh, you don't want to know, he's cussing. Isn't it amazing? The name of Jesus all around the world is a curse word, and yet it's also all around the world the biggest and the most prolific praise name. And so you choose today. The problem with Jesus is that he's alive. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that behold, two men stood by them in shining apparel or garments, no doubt angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they, that is these manifestations, said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, but on the third day be risen or rise from the grave or rise again? Verse 8, and they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them, who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. That's pretty pathetic, huh? These great men of faith. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. I don't know about you, but the way the world works, if something's really good, they're going to market that thing. If something's really good, they're going to say, but wait, there's more. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And you might say, well, that's a Bible deal. That's a Bible thing. Is it really now? Certainly the Bible predicted and forecasted by Bible prophecy the coming of Christ. In fact, I don't know if you realize it or not, but concerning the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he would do, it starts in Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve had sinned, the Bible tells us right here, look at this. This is the creation of the universe. This is the creation of all animal life, the starry heavens above, the oceans, the seas, Adam and Eve, and this is the fall right here. And this is man by his own knuckleheadedness banishing himself from the presence of God in rebellion. And then this is God's message to man saying, please come home. I love you and I'm crazy about you, but sin has separated you from me and I've got a plan to remedy that. That plan is none other than the one who this book is written about, Jesus Christ. The Bible says both in the book of Hebrews and the book of Psalms, Psalm 40, that behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me, Jesus is risen from the dead. And the great thing about that is when the world finds something good, they shout it out and make money off of it. It's a big deal. But listen, what's the thing with Jesus? Jesus is either accepted or he's rejected. And yet the Bible said that's exactly what would happen. Every day around the world for millennia, people have been telling others about Jesus Christ. And for some of us, we've been radically set free from our previous lifestyles and from our sins. I'm so happy about that. I love God a lot because I've been forgiven of horrible sins and a lot of them. Pastor, would you like to elaborate? No, I would not, because listen, God said I won't remember them, so why should I remind them? And you don't need to know. But today, when you hear this message, keep that in mind. The greatest news, Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And so I thought about, what if CNN was back then? What would they have covered? What would Wolf Blitzer have said on this morning in history? Think about it, 2,000 years ago? And I don't know, I make this stuff up right here. This is all made up, this next part. Everything else I told you previously is true. This next part, I'm making it up. CNN, maybe, it sounded like this. On this morning in history, headlines, Jesus of Nazareth defies death. Tomb shattered, skeptics proven wrong. I like that. Fox News, eternal life is now possible. Jesus conquers death and hell. Wow. And then leave it to NBC. Rams beat the Goats 7-0. Madonna wows halftime crowd. I mean, there's people that get it and there's people that don't get it. There's people, everybody knows Jesus' name, but do they know what he's all about? Do you really know what he's all about? The Bible says, listen to this, and I hope this is what happens to you today. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, the Bible says that as they went to tell the disciples, the women, Matthew's account, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And so they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. I'd like to have seen that happen. They're thinking, man, he's missing from the tomb. We got to go back and tell the disciples. We saw angels this morning, and en route to tell the disciples, Jesus appears, and they tackle him. And Jesus says to them, rejoice. The word in Greek is amazing, church. The word means this. It's printed as rejoice in the scripture. The word means be calmly, it's hard to say, calmly, happily, joyful. That's what the word means. Now, I don't understand that. He's risen from the dead. They're freaking out, excited. And he says, now listen, be calmly, happily, joyful. How do you do that? I mean, how do you do that? This is what it implies. I've risen from the dead. You're freaking out. That's a good thing. But bring it down. Focus. Because we got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of broken people in the world, and we got to go get them. We got to go love them. We got to go rescue them. It's amazing. Be joyful, but, okay, be a little calm about that. Mark it down as we look at this today in our closing arguments for the problem concerning Jesus is that he's exclusive. What I'm about to say, I say in all love. I don't mean to offend anyone, but the truth is the truth. My friends, the problem with Jesus is that he's alive, and that truth, listen, it's because he's exclusive. He's exclusive this way. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, here, Luke 24, verses 1 to 4, Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. Can you write that down? In fact, in your mind, will you just think about this? Do you have a sacrifice? You need a sacrifice. And I'll prove it to you in a moment that every one of us operate under a thought of sacrifice. Jesus, the Bible says, is our sacrifice. The angels announced to the women visiting the tomb, don't you remember that he told you that he would have to be given over to the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified, but on the third day be resurrected? Nobody in the history of mankind, am I yelling? I'm so excited. I'm sorry, here you go. Nobody in the history of the world has ever had this told of them in advance. The Bible is about him. It told us in advance that the Messiah of Israel would be the Messiah of the world. It says there 1,000 years before Jesus was born that he would be crucified and they'd put holes in his hands and in his feet and that he would be lifted up. Moses prophesied about the lifting up. Christ on the cross. Think of it. Prophecy announces who Jesus would come. The Messiah would come. And previously to that, all around the world, but certainly in the Hebrew culture, there was, out of Exodus chapters 11 and 12, the Passover, which was just this week, a lamb was to be sacrificed. And God told Abraham, God told them all to look ahead. This lamb will cover, not take away, cover your sins. But there's a lamb that would come. Abraham said on Mount Moriah, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And John the Baptist, when Jesus came, said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Sacrifice. It is awesome. It is amazing. Each of us operate off of a system of sacrifice in some way, shape, or form. You might be an atheist today and you don't believe in God, but because you don't, you still have this lost and lonely hole in your life. And you could fill it with religion. It won't work. Let me spare you some grief. Religion will not do it. Religion is man's attempt to become worthy before God. If any of you are involved in a religion that teaches you, you've got to work it out, you've got to do it, you've got to perform it until you're acceptable by God, listen, you've got the wrong religion, my friend. I cannot better my position before God. And yet we try, instinctively we try, but we miss the mark. By the way, that's the word for the word sin. Did you know that sin? Everybody freaks out over the word sin. I can't believe you said that word. Just calm down. The word is a term taken from the Olympics, ancient Olympics. It means to miss the target. The guy would take his arrow, shoot it in Rome or Greece, and the judge would look at the target, and then he'd yell back at the guy that shot the arrow, sinner! He didn't take it personal. He didn't freak out. He didn't throw himself down and suck his thumb. He went, doggone it, I'll try again. And he kept shooting until he hit the target. Every one of us in our best attempt, we miss the target. And even if we don't believe in God, there's this thing where, well, I believe in just being nice to people and good to people. We all appreciate that. But you can't equate that or translate that for God accepting you. Because listen, we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross according to the Bible. And it's not only the Bible, hello, Rome. Secular Roman history. I've been to the British Museum, secular place. You should see the stuff they've got from Rome. The Roman government attested to the fact of Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, having been crucified in Israel under the auspices of Pontius Pilate. This is secular history, ladies and gentlemen. The Arco volume found in Constantinople speaks all about Christ, and it's a secular writing. Remarkable. Jesus is the sacrifice. Listen to this. The Bible says, and he being found in appearance as a man, the word is human, Jesus being found in the appearance of a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know what's so profound about that? Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, verse, is that it implies without difference. God became a man, took on humanity, and God subjected himself to death. The whole verse speaks about what's not normal. Look, it's normal for you and I to die. It's normal for you and I to be condemned to death in this world. It happens every day to people. What's not normal is when God subjects himself to death and God becomes obedient. You say, how can that happen? For God so loved the world that he gifted his only, one and only Son, that if you believe in him, if you transfer your worry and put it into faith in him for your present life and eternal life, you will not perish. That's a great word. It means you will not see hell. You will not see the grave. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Can you imagine being locked in a box? No, I don't mean that in a funny way. I mean, I'd be terrified. Being locked in a box? Maybe somebody's thinking death is like that. You're locked in a box. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Then forget about the box. Listen. God's not in a box. And if you trust him, you won't be in a box. Your body, look, I may bury you at Forest Lawn, but you ain't there. If you're a believer, you're with the Lord. Instantly, the Bible says. Keep that in mind. Based on what? Jesus Christ being the sacrifice. The second thing is, he's the Savior. You ever think about that? Do you know anybody in the world who can save you? I mean save you. Not only in this life, but at death. And all the way through into eternity. Do you know anybody like that? There's people who make you promises. People make you guarantees. Jesus Christ says, if a man believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Well, Pastor, I believe Jesus was a really great teacher, a great prophet, a great man. Really? If that's what you think, based though also in light of what he said, excuse me, Jesus said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, in this world, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me, by the way, the word doesn't say I hate Jesus. It means you keep your mouth shut. The opportunity arises for you to vote for Jesus and you to say nothing. Jesus says, then I can't acknowledge you before my Father. Acknowledge me. Listen, there's no gray zone. Acknowledge me or don't acknowledge me. The decision's yours, but you give me the opportunity to present your case before my Father in the end or not. Jesus said that stuff. Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. You think Jesus is just a good man and a great prophet and a very good guy? If that's true, what you say, he's crazy. Jesus would be the most dangerous man ever released upon the human race. If he's just a prophet and just a good man and just a great teacher and he said those things and he died and he never rose from the grave, come on, are you kidding me? He would be crazy. That's the fun thing. You say, what are you yelling for? Because I know he's not that. Jesus says, you're gonna kill me? You're gonna put me in the ground? 3 days later, I'll be back.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus. And of course, one of the so-called problems with Jesus is that he is alive. In fact, that's the title of our lesson today, He is Alive. It's part of Pastor Jack's multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Friday, and that means my favorite time of the week, Ask Pastor Jack. It's a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. All right, today's Ask Pastor Jack comes from the pulpit, and the topic, a lady struggling with being a believer and having same-sex desires. She says, and I quote, I'm a lesbian, and I've been praying not to have feelings for girls, but it doesn't go away.
I've gotten rid of all my lesbian friends and everything so that I will not be tempted. What shall I do?
Okay, keep this in mind. Homosexuality in any manifestation, for that matter, let's just pick on sexual sin and temptation. Whatever it is. Don't think for a moment that lesbianism, homosexuality, heterosexual temptation is any different from one another. Don't think that if a man lusts after a woman, that that's somehow less of a sin than a man lusting after a man or a woman lusting after a woman. It's all equally condemned before God. Do you understand that? So let's get that thinking on right away, because a lot of people today are telling us, well, a heterosexual lust is different. My homosexual lust is not so bad. No, it's all condemned before God. Number one, examine your past. Why do I bring this up? Because an overwhelming amount of people who struggle just in their minds, they've never crossed the line. In their minds, they struggle with homosexual temptation, and they don't know why. Many of them, when they're researched and talked it over, it's found out that they experienced some form of child abuse, sexual child abuse, as a young person. Their data is overwhelming on this, and so they're confused. I'm not talking about gender confusion. I'm talking about their sexuality is confused because they admit, man, yeah, you know what? When I was 6 years old, you know, the girl next door or the boy next door did this to me. Or it was somebody I knew. This is 75% or greater. That's a huge number. The data is actually in the 80s, 80%. But listen, I want to encourage you. If you're here or if you're watching right now or you're listening right now, I think you're doing the right thing. You said that you've severed your relationships with your lesbian friends. Listen, that's true. That should be true for all of us who sever our relationship with our past life. You may have the temptation for the rest of your life. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't have homosexual temptations, but there's not a man or a woman around that doesn't have some form of sexual temptation. And let me tell you, it doesn't go away with age. It doesn't end with age. It's the sin nature. You're doing the right thing by changing your friends. The scripture says that evil company corrupts good morals. So you're doing the right thing. Don't think that your temptation's going to go away, but I'm going to tell you this right now. And this is true for all of us. Maybe your thing is not sexual. Maybe it's drinking or whatever it is. Listen, bring every thought, Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10 says, under the captivity of Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, let me tell you something. How personal can I be with you tonight? Of course, very personal, because it's at my expense, not yours. Before I got saved, I was completely given over to making sure that I was gratified. Girls, the pornographic world, that's why for myself, I radically cut that off when I came to Christ. I should say I radically, what a bonehead. The Lord dramatically removed that from my life, okay? Why? Because I'm convinced it would have killed me. I know that now, and I know that the day after I got saved, okay? Here's the thing. No matter what the temptation is, God will give you the power by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Do you want to get victory over any temptation, any one of us tonight? The answer is the power of the Bible. Amen. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Whatever your struggle is, no matter what it is subservient to the power of the Word of God.
All right, that's Pastor Jack from the pulpit on the topic of lesbian tendencies in the life of a believer. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Who knows? You might hear your question and answer on the radio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.